Hey everybody, welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, and this week on the show I have an interview with Peggy Joy Cross. Peggy has been a professional feng shui teacher, lecturer, writer, and consultant since 1998. Her studies include several feng shui schools, BTB feng shui being the one she turns to most often, because she believes this school is more empowering for her and her clients, as the teaching honors our individual intuition. In her lectures and consulting, she incorporates her background as an interior designer, along with the knowledge from other schools, dowsing, meditation, ancient rituals, and of course the Edgar Cayce readings. Peggy received her BFA in interior design from the Ringling School of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida, and her BA in political science from Indiana Purdue Universities at Indianapolis. She's a professional member of the American Society of Interior Designers and the International Feng Shui Guild, as well as a Florida-licensed realtor and Virginia-certified interior designer. She teaches online learning e-groups on feng shui. For a schedule, visit edgarcayce.org/egroups. And she will be the featured presenter at a new conference entitled New Year, New Life, Using Feng Shui, the Creative Forces, and the Edgar Cayce Readings to Renew Home Life, Body, and Soul. This is in Virginia Beach on January 18th of next year. Hope you guys enjoy my interview with Peggy Cross. And how did you first get introduced to the Edgar Cayce material?
What started this present journey with Feng Shui and Edgar Cayce was picking up, it was either the book on color or auras, and I'm reading and went, well, this is basic feng shui. What else aligns? Because I've been studying feng shui for already 10 years, no more. And because I started that in 94. And so Kevin Tedeschi at that point in time was the editor of Venture Inward. And I asked him, would you be interested in an article that talks about the alignment of teachings and philosophies of feng shui and Edgar Cayce, and he said, sure, and it took off from there.
Wow,
article
great.
Published, you know, participating in conferences, doing the survey lectures as every month as part of my service to the ARE. So I participate in those afternoon free lectures.
Oh, wow, fantastic. And you said you studied feng shui before you studied the Cayce material. What connection did you find between feng shui and the Cayce material?
Well, as I said, it was talking about color.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing, and then I started looking. So connections go on and on and on. One of the things Cayce said, and I will paraphrase rather than look for the individual quotes, but he said, joy and beauty are often missing in the home. Feng shui being all about the energy of a home, does it support us in the highest way possible? Is what we have in our home operating for our highest good? Are the vibrations positive? Is the color supportive? Those things, color, knowledge, and then looking at feng shui, what I started out by doing was looking at the Bagua and each of the areas of that, considering it as a life map, and Cayce has something to say about all of that. He talks about marriage. He talks about our relationship to ourselves and looking at our children. Both teachings are about keeping the children close to us. In feng shui, the teaching is don't have the bedrooms on the other side of the house. There were, when I lived in Florida, the big deal was the split plan, and the kids' bedrooms would be on one side of the house and the parents are on the other. Not advisable under either philosophy. The color is just aligns very, very nicely. There's a lot about balance in both teachings.
For me personally, I do have a little understanding of feng shui, but I'm sure our listeners might not be as familiar. On your website, you say feng shui is basic to life, as basic as gravity. And for someone who is unfamiliar with feng shui, how exactly would you explain what feng shui refers to?
Okay. It's our life, very simply. Gravity we understand because we live with it, we feel its effect, we're connected to the earth. What feng shui deals with are the vibrations and the effect of the shape of our homes, the placement of various rooms within our homes, the locations, say, of bathrooms where they drain energy. Some places are preferable to others. The colors that we use. For example, I have observed that people who tend to be depressed will use colors in their homes that I would consider depressing because it supports the way they are in the world. So we use color for many different reasons, and there are cultural reasons for using color. Feng Shui being ancient Chinese teachings, a big example, look at white. It's all in the Chinese culture. It's about death. That is not what white relates to in this culture. So we look at cultural differences. We look at experiences, personal experiences. Where are we located physically in our home, say, growing up, when we have really positive experiences and interactions with our family? Or what color is our home when we grow up miserable? We're either going to like or not like those colors in the future. And Casey talks a lot about the impact of color, like he calls orange the color of the sun, and it's a very joyful color. We look at, in terms of what else feng shui looks at, not going but with the names of the energy systems, but it looks at the placement of furniture. Do you like having people come over to your house? And this is very simple. Does your home say welcome? Or does it say keep out in terms of the placement of the furniture, in terms of the ability to find the front door, in terms of the ease of access? Are you up many flights of stairs, thereby making it difficult since there's no elevator? Or are you located on ground level with a well-lit and easy to access entrance to your home? Does your home embrace you and open up to welcome you? That's right. How a home should feel when one walks in, either for the owners or for guests, in my opinion.
Right.
And say, oh, happy. Oh, welcome. What a joyful place to be. And part of it is maintaining a high vibration in the home. One of the things we look at, are there blocks? Are there what we call poison arrows? Are there daggers that may be coming from plants or corners of walls that point at a person when they're sitting in a particular location? Are there beams overhead that are sending energy downwards?
Wow.
That can cause illness and problems with the body.
Right.
And the systems, what I started doing in looking at the alignment was taking the Bagua with the basic areas of life, which have a mundane practice and then a deeper metaphysical or spiritual practice. But, for instance, there's an area commonly called marriage. I like to think of it as the beloved, and it also relates to one's relationship with oneself, and it also relates to business partnerships. Literally, the Bagua or life map covers every aspect of our life. It's an octagon in terms of shape, containing 8 guas, children and creativity, so it's the children of our bodies and the children of our heart, mind, and souls. And I like to think of that one, for example, as gifts from God. And there's an area called, commonly, helpful people. I like Casey's phrase, channel of blessings, for that one.
Right.
Because it's about being helpful and being open to receiving help.
Right.
And it balances across the Bagua with an area usually called wealth or abundance. But that area is about all of the blessings that we experience. And these two are an illustration of the cycle of giving and receiving in the universe. And the area called career is also our life's journey. And that balances, for example, with the area called fame, that's also about enlightenment or illumination. And what I noticed a few years ago, and this was really fun for me, is that in many churches and synagogues, walking into the central main area of the sanctuary, the nave, however it's properly called, you're entering in your area of life's journey. And the altar or the Torah is located in the area of enlightenment. So I thought that was a really fun connection. There's the area commonly called knowledge that is also about our spiritual growth. And then one called family that goes into universal connection.
And we'll be right back with more from Peggy Joy Cross here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Peggy Joy Cross.
And that one has one of my favorite quotes from Cayce in it that talks about all people being our brothers, all people on the universe, in the universe at any given time. So that is a beginning of looking at the Bagua and the life map, and it is unified in the center by what is called the Min Tang, which is represented by the Tai Chi symbol, and it's all about change, balance, and unity. There it is. This is that quote. Who is thy brother? Whoever, wherever he is, that bears the imprint of the maker in the earth, be he black, white, gray, or grizzled, ... all that are in the earth today are thy brothers. So I love that one. He's talking about helpful people. He says, in this then be joyous that thou art counted as worthy to be a channel of blessing to many. And so being a helpful person can be as simple as going out with a smile on your face. And I think that he talked also about that.
He did, absolutely. And what sort of immediate impact did feng shui have on your life when you were first introduced to it?
Well, at first I thought it was nuts.
Oh, okay, so it took you a minute to come around.
Yeah, my first class, which I can remember, was on Sanibel Island, and I'm going, wow. And then the next class was, oh, okay, I see a connection here. And the next class after that was a week at Georgia O'Keeffe's Ghost Ranch in Abiquiu, where dowsing was brought in, which I use always in my consultations. Looking at auras, there's a chakra connection with the Bagua, the chakras aligned. It has made a really big difference in looking at my life. And what really came to me a few years ago was because we use in feng shui what are called object cures, which can be anything from a color to a statue to a picture, anything that has special meaning to the individual, you can put it in an area of, say, your bedroom, of your home, that relates to a specific area of your life, and enhance and work with the intentions you have for your life in that specific area. And then the next thing that came was each of these areas is an opportunity to be aware of a deeper connection to the divine. And so that certainly aligns with Cayce in looking at our entire life, every aspect of our life, being a connection to source.
Right. You say our homes are a reflection of our lives.
What? Absolutely.
I find this so interesting because you also talked about having certain things in your home that create a certain energy that help maybe to keep your vibration high. What does this say about the recent hoarding trend that has been kind of spotlighted lately? I mean, I'm sure it's been going on forever, but I noticed lately it's been a little spotlighted in the media.
Well, yes. And one thing, there are a couple of different ways, I think, to look at hoarding. Because in feng shui, what we begin with, so just a little bit of background on that, We use the three Chinese energy systems of the Bagua or life map, the five elements that are common to Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and a balance of yin-yang. In addition to looking at those to be really effective, one first looks at clutter. And so clutter could be considered an early stage of hoarding. Hoarding, I see, is a real sickness. The hoarding show, I cannot watch that show.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to watch it. It really is. You notice how much it really is a disease when you see all the psychological and emotional things that are, you know, the way they're connected to their material items.
And that is what comes up in feng shui. And part of the workshop, in fact, the first part of the workshop will be dealing with clutter. Because, say, not to the hoarding extent, but looking at our homes as a reflection of our life, where do we tend to accumulate stuff in our homes? Where do we make a mess and it stays cluttered? What area of our life does that relate to literally? For example, it might be a person's bedroom, and they're married, so then I would go, okay, what is your relationship like with your spouse? What clutter is in that relationship?
Right.
And the next step would be, okay, where is your bedroom relative to the Bagua? What area of your life does that lie in? And let's say it's in the area of a combination of helpful people and children and creativity. And so my question would be, do you have the help you need in this lifetime? Are you able to be helpful? And then, where is your creativity blocked? Oh, you're having an issue. You can't have any children, and you're trying to do this. And you can't get your book written that you want to do. And it can all be traced back to clutter. And a further teaching on the clutter is when you have closets that are jam-packed, look at the Bagua. Where do they reside within that map? And those are deep-seated emotional issues that it would be beneficial to clear for the individual.
Wow. That's great. Most people don't ever get a chance. They'll go through a whole lifetime without ever thinking about these type of things. So it's great.
It really is. And one of you know, early on, I had a really fun time, for example. I love cookbooks. I have a really hard time saying, oh, don't buy anymore. They're a constant temptation. And I was at a client's house one time when I lived in Florida, and she was getting rid of some things, and she's going, this doesn't matter. So what shows up in my mailbox? One of her cookbooks. So she was clearing, and I was attracting her, because I love to cook, so...
That's great. I'm the same way. And you had a great quote on your website by William Morris, and I thought it kind of summed up what you just talked about. And it says, have nothing in your home that you do not know to be functional or believe to be beautiful. And I think that's such a great quote that just kind of sums up maybe a kind of a rule of thumb for feng shui.
I love that quote, too. Mm-hmm. I really do. He was a really interesting designer last century. And a philosopher as well. So that is one of my favorites. I'm glad you appreciate it. Thank
I loved
you.
It. Yeah, I read that, and it just rang so true with me. I loved it. And you also made it very clear that you're a proponent of always remaining open to all schools of thought when it comes to feng shui, and I'm sure when it comes to other parts of your life philosophy. Why do you think so many people swear by or even get caught up in one school of thought, kind of denying all the others? And is there a trend towards more open-minded views in all the branches of arts and sciences?
Here's what I do know. Professor Lin Yan, who founded the Black Sect Tantric Buddhist School of Feng Shui, taught that all schools are valid, remain open, and use what resonates. He also taught honor your intuition. And I think especially that intuition piece resonates with the Casey material.
Absolutely.
And there are different schools, and he brought this particular school to the United States. The big difference between it And the compass school is that in aligning the Bagua with one's home, and this may not make any sense to most people, one uses relative alignment, which means you set it up with the front door. In the compass school, everything is aligned according to a compass direction.
Right.
And what I have observed is that there are many compass school people who say, oh, no, the others are not valid.
Right.
I have been very fortunate to have studied both, and I incorporate parts of both. What I have also observed is people leaning, and this is based on my clients and my students, who lean towards compass school are more literal and linear-minded.
Mm-hmm.
They like being told what to do, and they are not necessarily intuitive. Those people who prefer the BTB, short for the Black Sect Tantric Buddhist School, other nicknames being Black Sect or Black Hat, those people are more intuitive or more aware of being intuitive, and they appreciate being able to use their own feelings about things in a way that aligns with feng shui teachings and being validated for what they think is the right thing for them. Because another one of Professor's teachings, and incidentally he died in August of 2010 and was headquartered out in Berkeley. I had been very fortunate to visit his temple out there, which was amazing.
Wow.
But anyway, I am not a linear thinker, as you can probably tell.
Right.
Or speaker. And so I lost my train of thought.
Hey, that's all right. We don't live in a linear reality, so that's okay.
No, we really don't. We really don't. Some people try and create that, but it's a struggle.
It is. I'm the same way. And I know you'd mentioned your students. Uh-huh. You have been an ARE online mentor for the e-groups. Can you tell us a little bit about that, your experience doing that?
I love doing it. I've gotten some wonderful feedback from some of my students. And one of the students did, when I mentioned, if you remember, object cures earlier, using anything that is symbolic to the individual.
Right.
This one touched my heart. And a woman wrote that she was feeling estranged from her parents. She lived on this continent. Her parents were in Europe. And she had not seen them for 5 years. And I said, or recommended, take a picture of your parents and put that in the family gua of your home.
And we'll be right back with more from Peggy Joy Cross here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Peggy Joy Cross.
So she emailed back and said, oh, this felt really weird. I took their picture from my family altar and put it in the family gua in the laundry room. But for the first time in 5 years, her father called her.
Wow.
She hardly had any conversation with him during that entire time. He called, and it was the beginning of the healing of that relationship. And I was literally moved to tears when I read that. There are just amazingly wonderful things that happen.
Wow,
so
that's great.
I love doing that and had great fun with that this year. I think maybe 4 of those. And don't know if I'll do that again next year, but I hope so.
Well, great. I'm glad you enjoyed that because I enjoy that. The online e-groups are something that is unique that the ARE is getting involved in. I think there's been some great feedback, and a lot of people have gotten some great results with it. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. And the neat thing is that the information stays there way beyond the month or 4 weeks for which the class is offered.
Right.
I mean, you can download and go back and access the information for quite a long time.
Right. And the small group, I think, is essential, too, because when you have a small group like that, you really get a chance to have some intimate discussions about the topic.
You do, and it depends. I've seen people that shared just amazing stream of consciousness comments on their clutter and their life and just all sorts of things.
You'd mentioned dowsing earlier. For those, some of our listeners might not be familiar with what dowsing is. Can you tell us what that is?
Okay. The type that I use in feng shui is working with a pendulum. And typically I will use it to ascertain where one is experiencing rushing qi. Energy, for those who do not see energy, moves in swirls, and it's always a curving pattern when it is moving naturally in the universe in an open area. The intent is that our homes be open and all areas in our home be nourished by the energy. Side thought, use every area of your home. Be sure that it is energized just by your presence or your dog's presence, something. So back to the energy. If you have a long straight hall, for example, that constrains the energy and it will be rushing. If you have a room like a bedroom at the end of that hall with a person sleeping on the other side or directly in front of that rushing energy, that can lead to illness. If you have the back door or a window directly in line with the front door, you can have energy coming in and rushing out the back without hanging around to nurture your home. So I use dowsing with a pendulum to ascertain the best placement for crystals, and in feng shui, I use rounded crystals to dissipate the energy, evenly faceted, that will send the energy in all directions, and we'll use those in various places to slow the energy. And so I also douse in addition to placement for the size of the crystal that would be most beneficial.
Oh, wow.
And I use dowsing, for example, also it's advisable to sleep under a flat ceiling for even energy disbursement.
Oh, wow.
And under a slanted ceiling, then I douse where to put the crystal and how big a crystal.
Your education was in interior design, and that was before you were introduced to feng shui, correct?
Correct. Okay. I got that degree the year before I started studying feng shui.
Oh, wow. So it was shortly after getting your degree that you were introduced to feng shui.
Absolutely.
And did they talk about it at all in interior design classes? Did they talk about anything related to feng shui?
Not at that time.
Okay. Are you saying that because it is incorporated now in interior design classes?
It is.
Fantastic.
Not as a specific class always. I teach an interior, I teach interior design at both the Art Institute of Virginia Beach and at Tidewater Community College. And at TCC, I was asked to create a full semester, 3-credit-hour class on feng shui. So
wow.
I'm not there a few. And you see it now more commonly mentioned, available when you're in an interior design program. It may be one of your continuing education credits.
Right.
And you see it mentioned in books. And there will be, I can think of one designer who has an international reputation who mentions feng shui. It's more commonly acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's, you know, not in my lifetime, but I'm sure eventually the entire world will be more aware of the importance of the invisible, which is, I mean, there's more invisible than there is visible.
Absolutely.
And I incorporated, you know, a little mention here, a little mention there in my interior design classes because the students typically find it interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people intuitively pick up on feng shui, which is nice.
Yes.
Is it important in feng shui to have pictures of yourself or your loved ones around?
I think it is, and a lot of the placement depends if a person's married or wanting an intimate relationship. You don't have pictures of your kids or your family in your bedroom watching you in your intimate moments.
Okay.
So you may have pictures of your children in the children's area of the home, or your ancestors and family in the family area of the home. And the very neat thing is that the bagua is not used just for the home. It can be used for every individual room. So you will have an area that relates to your abundance or your reputation or your children or your career in every room. Oh, I just thought of a great story. You want to hear a fun story?
I'd love to.
Okay, this was a client slash friend in Naples. And she had a daughter, age 16. Looking at the daughter's bedroom, the area of marriage was chopped off. The daughter had no boyfriend. And my client said when she was redoing her floors, which would have been the optimum time to correct that, she said, no, I don't want to. Let's just leave it. A little while later, her daughter's cousin came to live with them, and the daughter was from Michigan. And the reason she came is one of her issues was that she had an unsavory boyfriend. Now, I don't think there's any thought was given to this, but that cousin was put into the room where the marriage corner was lopped off, and the daughter was moved into a bedroom whose energy was complete. Within 2 weeks, maybe three, the inappropriate boyfriend dropped out of the picture. And very shortly thereafter, the daughter had a boyfriend. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Wow, how cool.
Yeah, it really is cool. And one of the things I've had a lot of fun with, back to your question about the impact on my life, is looking back at things that have happened in the various houses in which I've lived, both single and married with kids and all, and went, oh my goodness, before I even knew feng shui, the teachings align with what was going on in my life. So that is pretty neat. And then, this was another fun one. I had a family member say, well, you know, based on what you see in my house, what would you say is going on? And I said, well, you have family issues, your marriage is in the pits, and you have a lot of money problems. And subsequently, there was a divorce and a bankruptcy. And the house, you know, the acknowledgement was there. Yes, that sums it up. You're right. That's what's going on. And that was because of the clutter, back to your question about hoarding.
Mm-hmm.
So the clutter is a real good indicator. And it's hard to move forward in your life with clutter.
Right.
That's what it does. It blocks opportunities. And clutter can be mental. It can be physical. It can be friends, it can be a loose doorknob, it can be a broken project, it can be an unwanted gift. Clutter covers many, many aspects of life.
Right. That's awesome. Wow. And last but not least, I want to go ahead and get to the upcoming conference that you are the featured presenter at. And it is in January of 2014, and is entitled New Year, New Life, Using Feng Shui, the Creative Forces, and the Edgar Cayce Readings to Renew Your Home, Life, Body, and Soul. And it sounds amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, as I said earlier, we'll start with looking at clutter, and that will be a really fun part. We will review the Bagua and what that means so people can have a way of looking at their life. We'll also look at color, because Cayce talked about how important that is.
And we'll be right back with more from Peggy Joy Cross here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Peggy Joy Cross.
And we will be doing an intention setting ceremony for the new year. We're going into the year of the horse, and it's within a couple of days of that. So we will, based on the Bagua, we'll be looking at all the areas of life and creating an intention around that. Let's see. We'll be looking at, one of my favorite questions is, what is your home trying to tell you that you don't yet hear? So talking about personal symbology and what people have around them, what are they creating with things that they're really unaware of? people will be told that it's they'll get more out of the workshop if they bring a floor plan of their home. That way they'll be able to really get personal with the teachings around the Bagua.
Right. And is it important for them to have a background in feng shui at all, or are everybody welcome?
Oh, everybody's welcome.
Fantastic.
My intention is to give people enough information to work confidently and effectively with their own home. In an entire day, they will get a good introduction to the various aspects of feng shui, and always questions. I'm open to questions always throughout a presentation. So that, I think, helps. That way people don't have to remember them, and they can, everyone in the audience can relate the question to what's going on at that exact time.
Right.
So I think it makes it more cohesive and meaningful.
Awesome. We look forward to that.
And what could somebody expect if they were to get a consultation from you?
A typical one will usually last about 2 hours.
Okay.
For an average 3 or 4 bedroom home. If you've got 4,000 square feet, it's going to take longer. And what I like to do is not give people an overload of information. And I don't recommend working on more than 3 aspects of life at one time. So we look at the home, we look at their issues, and I will make recommendations. They may be few, they may be a lot. Before I started practicing, I had a consultation. A lady came from Miami over to Naples and gave me 72 things to do in my home. And I spent probably 4 hours after she left writing things down.
Right.
And some of the things when she said, for example, the clutter, I love this. She said, this foyer table has way too much stuff on it. And I stood there and thought, it does not. It's just fine. And probably 3 months later, I walked out and I went, there's too much stuff on this table. I have to get rid of some. So our awareness shifts, and when it comes to clutter, I think it's important to release things as we are able to do so comfortably. Because we have, like you mentioned earlier, with, and I can't get your wording exactly, but we do have energetic attachments to all our stuff, to our friends, to our family.
Right.
And sometimes it's really difficult to let things go. And there's always a reason for keeping stuff. It might be security. It might be poverty consciousness. It might be memories. I've had people say, how can you bear to let go of anything of your mother's? Well, I can remember her without all her stuff.
Right, right.
So there are just many different psychological reasons for the things that we create in our home. And one of the best teachings, I think, is that we choose our homes for the lessons that they had, that our life has for us.
Oh, I like that.
I like it. I like it because, and I've been able to see that in my own life.
Right.
Where I think my greatest growth needs to occur. And that's the kind of house that I am drawn to.
I think that really synchronizes well with the Casey material. Not just the house that, you know, the kind of the house chooses you and that you need to work with certain things, but it's everything in your life, your relationships, your environment, you know, your state of mind. It's all there for a reason. And if, you know, you work with it and understand that it's just a mirror reflecting things back to you, then you can really grow from that, which
yes.
is, yeah, I think feng shui and Casey really go hand in hand with that.
They absolutely do. You are so right, and you put it so well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Peggy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this tremendously.
And now it's time for the thought for the day. And the thought for the day today is from reading 1182-1. And it reads, "It is not what one knows that counts, but what one does about that it knows." And I love this excerpt from the reading because this has been a major theme in my life over the past year. Reading and studying spiritual literature is, of course, a practice I intend on keeping the rest of my life. But I noticed that all the books in the world really can't compare to direct experience and the application of learned spiritual principles. I'm often reminded of a favorite quote of mine, in which it states that wisdom is knowledge ensouled. In other words, knowledge is most powerful when it's put into practice. Many say knowledge is power, however, it is not always used with the high spiritual ideals in mind by those who hold the power. I think it is more important now than ever for everyone to put their knowledge into action for the highest good. Casey stressed the importance of living a life of service, and I truly believe that there are more and more amazing organizations like the ARE forming every day. The floodgates of our once-suppressed knowledge and timeless wisdom have been busted open with the rate of technological advancement, the way that we communicate with each other, and the way that knowledge is spread out through the masses. This sparks a shared purpose in all of us to take what we have learned and apply it in service to the world. Edgar Cayce clearly stated, this is why we are all here at such a special time. Well, that's all the time we have for the show today. I want to thank my guest Peggy Joy Cross for sharing her wisdom and experience in Feng Shui with us. If you'd like to spend a full day exploring Feng Shui with Peggy's expert guidance, be sure to register for her upcoming conference by visiting edgarcayce.org. Click on Events and then click on Conferences. That website again is Edgar Cayce, that's EDGARCAYCE.org. Peggy's presentation helps you to improve the energy of your home, relationships, workplace, and daily life. And it is on January 18th of 2014 in Virginia Beach. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook at Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce Internet Radio Show. We'd love to hear your feedback on the show. I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, reminding you that in this universe, there are no limitations. One only limits self by doubt or fear. Have a beautiful week, everybody.